Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Down the line, and that is a fair ball headed towards the corner. Reddick scores. Gurriel scores. Bregman digging for third. He's heading home. He is safe. Astros take a 4-3 lead in the eighth. Jose Altuve clears the bases with a double.
That we're bumping in with that today, not because that's the lead story or anything, not because we're leading off with the Astros. We'll talk about the Astros on the show today. That's just my way of letting the Astros know we haven't forgotten about them.
Oh, good call. I like
they
that
are
shine.
The most recent world champions we have in this city. They've given us many a moment of joy. They will continue to do so throughout the summer.
Division leader?
Division leader and a big win last night, and Jose Altuve kind of getting off of the schneid because he did get a hit the night before.
For him, a little dip, 0-16 prior to that.
Yeah, well, he got a hit in the ninth inning on Monday night, so he broke that streak. So he got that out of the way. But that was like, you know, he got that hit, and then the Astros went on to lose the game. This was like a Jose Altuve moment last night. Mm-hmm. Bases loaded, Jose Altuve steps up, and bam, down the left field line. And they clear the bases.
Clear the bases, double.
And
nice.
And the Astros get a big win.
That's what we expect from you, Jose.
Yeah.
Altuve. Yeah, I like that, Sean, because you're right. They've kind of taken a back page with the Western Conference Finals going on right now.
I feel like each of the teams are, you know, we have our relationships with the teams. And if you're juggling multiple relationships, you want to make sure that there's nobody that's getting ignored throughout that process, so long as they deserve the attention.
Yeah.
And the Astros most definitely deserve the attention.
They do.
So I just wanted them to know that we haven't forgotten about them.
That's a good call. Yeah. I like that you did that, Sean. That's very, very nice of you. Garrett Cole had one of his shorter outings for his Astros career.
I
think it was his shortest. So, but you know, he's been pitching at such a high level, so it's kind of understandable. He's going to have a game here and there that doesn't go as planned.
Yeah, no, he had a 1.43 ERA going into that game. He's not going to finish the season with a 1.43 ERA.
This just in, right?
So there are going to be games like that. The good news is he had a game that might have been his worst game of the year, and you won the game. Like, that's the big thing. Like, okay, you know, you look at where the Astros are right now and the Angels are chasing them a little bit. The AL West is a little harder than you thought it'd be. The Red Sox and the Yankees are playing at a gigantically elite level right now. So you go, wow, 2018 just looks like it's going to be a harder year, not because the Astros are worse, but it's just going to be a harder year because everybody else that matters is a little bit better this year, if not a lot better this year. So, you know, wins are going to be at a premium, maybe even at a premium in the division, just based on how the Angels are playing so far. So knowing that Garrett Cole is going to have a few of these games along the way, you know, a lot of times you think that and you go, okay, well, you pencil those things in as losses. Every win that you can get when one of these starting pitchers is not on their game almost feels like two wins. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As crucial as the starting pitching has been to this team's success so far, if you can get a win right now, the way the Astros is inconsistent as they've been hitting the baseball and as great as these starting pitchers have been, if you can get a win right now when you don't get a good performance out of one of your five starting pitchers.
That's huge. You're right.
It feels like a win and a half.
Yeah, it really does.
Especially when it's against the Angels, because it really is like two wins, because that's the team you're going to be playing with in the AL West.
Yeah, that is so true. There's been so many gems that the starting pitchers for the Astros have pitched without a lot of run support. It was Dallas Keuchel who had the least amount of run support of anybody on the staff. Well, now that is now Justin Verlander. He's the one with the least amount of run support. So, and it is a little bit frustrating because the bats, I mean, they're just hot. They're cold. They're hot. They're cold. You know, the bottom of the lineup is starting to hit better, which is encouraging. So it was nice to see Colin McHugh come in for two innings and just give up a hit, you know, and they kind of pieced it together. Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Will Harris.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if it was Will.
Yeah, it would be awesome. That would be awesome. So it was a nice game. It was really a nice game to see Jose kind of come through in the end form
and
get him up front. Yeah, and Giles, hey, gave up one hit, but
couple Ks.
Yeah, but for the most part, did his job, man. Yeah. That was nice to see.
Yeah, I'm okay with Giles. Like, you know, you give up a hit, you're up two runs, you give up a hit, and that's it. Like, it's not clean, but it's okay. It's when it's a one run game. And he's completely dancing with the devil out there. You know, like he's got runners on second and third, and he's got to dance his way out of that. That's where I get a little dicey with Giles. If that's the performance we get out of Giles, I'm cool because he didn't give up any runs.
Yep, I'm with you.
So Astros, good job. We'll talk about you guys a little bit later in the show. As you can tell, it's Sean Pendergast, Ted Johnson. No Rich Lord today. Rich out for a couple days. He expects to be back on Friday. So Rich out. But Ted and I got you here for the next 4 hours till 6 o'clock tonight. Game two tonight. Ted, any epiphanies about game two as you've had a chance to sleep on it a couple nights in a row? Anything that's come into your head that said this needs... You know what? I hadn't brought this up on the radio yet. I think this needs to happen, or I feel great about this.
You know what? I think the one thing that is kind of been burning in my brain when it comes to game two is this feeling that Chris Paul needs to handle the ball more, that he needs to be the conductor out there, that he needs to take charge. He's the one that maybe the offense should be going through more so than James Harden. I don't know how that works in there. I don't know if that's something that the two of them can talk about. I feel like Mike D'Antoni, needs to have a conversation about that, because I just feel it's great of an offensive game that James Harden had. I think there was just too many times where, he just was controlling the ball and the pace and everything too much, and it wasn't getting guys involved. So I'd like to see maybe Chris Paul get out there and be more of a conductor than he maybe was in game one. I'm still, I don't know how this game's going to look. I mean, I think the Rockets are going to win tonight. I feel like they got to do something different, though, Sean. I mean, they had so much ISO on that first game. I think they got to change it up. I think they got to get more guys involved. I mean, when you have Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute combined for 9 points in that first game, that's not going to get it done. You got to get more guys involved. I think they win tonight, Sean. I'm just not real confident, from what I saw in game one, that they can maybe win the series. I picked the Golden State, obviously, in six. So the only thing I see, the epiphany I had, more Chris Paul and a little bit less James Harden. And I think that can maybe balance things out and get guys more involved, get them lathered up, because you need more from the role players, specifically at home.
Yeah.
You need to get your role players involved at home more than they did in game one.
I think it's interesting. Like, all year long, we've talked about not all year long, but like certainly heading into the season, a lot of the talk nationally was, boy, how are Chris Paul and James Harden going to work together? How's this whole thing going to work? And it worked fine all season long, and it's worked fine throughout the playoffs. And I don't think there's any issue between Harden and Chris Paul, and I don't think there's really any issue on the team. However, I do find it interesting that Eric Gordon was saying things like, we need to run a lot less ISO. It's almost like Eric Gordon and James Harden were like low-key throwing a little bit of shade at each other about their opinions on how the team needs to be run. So it's not really a Chris Paul and James Harden issue as much as it is clearly a slight disagreement over how much ISO ball, how much James should have the ball in his hands. Because, I don't know, with James, like on the score sheet, he had an amazing game one. And when he was the one who was shooting the basketball, he was really, really good. He scored 41 points. But I guess if I had to criticize James Harden over something, it would be that he was supposed to be the court general out there. Like he's not just responsible for his 41 points when he's out there. For most of the time, he's responsible for the points the other guys are getting too, and getting the team put into position to where they're getting good shots. And he largely failed at that. He was initiating the offense very late. When he did ISO, it was a lot of step back. It was a lot of things that were just, that were the only end point on that thing that it could be, was a James Harden jump shot.
That's it.
It wasn't him getting into the teeth of the defense, where the end game could be three or four different things, right? It could be him throwing up a floater. It could be him pulling up for a little elbow jumper. It could be him going to the hole. It could be him kicking it out to any number of shooters, all of those things. And I was texting back and forth with Meltzer about this morning, and I said, man, I think, boy, it's going to feel, for someone like me who's not a huge Russell Westbrook fan to say this, it's going to feel like I'm throwing real shade at James Harden. But it's almost like his game one was like a less spastic version of Russell Westbrook, right?
Yeah,
and
then
he's handling the ball like 88% of the time. And he was like Russell Westbrook with better shot selection, I guess is the way I would put it. Because he wasn't doing a great job of getting other people involved. Golden State may have had something to do with that, but that's up to Mike D'Antoni largely, but James Harden and Chris Paul to figure
they
out.
Just, you know what? James has got to know that he needs help. It was a great offensive night that he had. But at what cost? I mean, you have to get everybody else involved. And as great of a night it was for James Harden offensively, he was gassed at the end of that game. I mean, from a defensive standpoint, he gave up 33 points for the guys that he was defending the whole night. So there's kind of pick your poison, if you will, Sean. And I feel like a little bit like James Harden needs to kind of get more guys involved so that he has more left in the tank at the end of games. So there were some sloppy passes at the end of games, some lazy passes at the end of games at critical time. I think when Golden State just started making turning those turnovers into points, that he has to be careful about. So that's a big thing. And you know what? When you're playing so much ISO, you know what you're doing? You're letting Golden State just, relax on defense. You're not working them on defense at all.
That's a good point.
You got Golden State with all that movement, and you have the Rockets chasing them. I know they're switching off. Well, that takes a lot of mental and physical, out of you, if you will, just to do all the switching. And so the Rockets aren't working Golden State at all on the defensive side with so much ISO. And so they have more left in the tank. And then it just looks easier for them than it does for the Rockets. So hopefully Mike D'Antoni has something up his sleeve tonight. And he did say something in today when he was interviewed. He said, "We're going to do what we do." And when I hear a coach say, "We're going to do what we do," I get it to a point. Like, you got this far, 65 wins, number one overall seed, doing it the way you did it. But you're taking on a team unlike any team you faced so far in the playoffs. Golden State, that has got unbelievable defenders on that team. I think you have to change what you've been doing just to keep those guys off balance.
And he may. I'm not going to take too much away from what a guy's saying to the media about what their game plan is, because I – look, you play for one of the all-time, like, just like,
that's what it is.
Building a wall around everybody. We don't know what anybody's doing.
That phrase, when I hear that phrase from a coach in the playoffs, it feels like a stubborn kind of thing. It feels like, just not flexible and maybe, doing the things you need to do to beat your opponents. Like, well, we're going to do what we do. So that is a carryover from football for me. So I just, up my spine, I hear him say that. I go, all right. Okay, well, we'll see. Doing it the way you did, how'd that work out in game one?
Yeah, I don't know if he's being totally honest when he says that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect him to walk up there and go, "Here's what we're going to do more of in the game," and then give Golden State some sort of advantage.
Fair enough,
saying? So I'll wait and see. I'll wait and see what they do tonight. I'll wait and see if he's added any wrinkles. The pressure is clearly squarely on Mike D'Antoni tonight. That's who the pressure is on. Like, this is why he gets paid a lot of money, is to unlock some things offensively against good teams, and when times are hard. He's not paid to unlock things offensively against Sacramento. He's paid to unlock things offensively against Golden State. And that's just the offensive side of things. It's up to the players now, too, to dial in on defense and focus in a little bit better
right
on defense. But I wonder, too, you were talking about Harden and holding the ball. Guys are 8-for-28 from three who were not named James Harden. I do think there is something to be said for James and Chris Paul, whoever's handling the basketball, at least getting guys touches. I don't even mean shots necessarily, but just getting them engaged offensively, because I do think there's a bit of a symbiotic thing going on with offense and defense, that when you do get touches at one end of the floor, you feel more plugged into the game at the other end of the floor. I've heard players say that before.
Yeah. Oh,
So
makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not even saying, hey, we got to make sure Trevor Ariza and PJ Tucker are getting their corner threes. That's not the case. I'm just saying, run something where it's not four guys standing around watching James dribble the shot clock away.
I'm totally with you.
And human nature.
That's why I think you need to take the ball out of James' hands a little bit more tonight, put it in Chris Paul's hands, because he's a better facilitator and floor general, I think, than James Harden is at this point in his career.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.